We've been looking at this series within a series. Again, our big year series is called His Story, Past Faith, Producing Current Faith. The faith of those that have walked before us can provide the faith for what we're walking through today. And now we've really been looking through the time in God's story where Israel has been held captive in Babylon because of their sin. We are looking at this idea to be empowered to do hard things. How many of you absolutely love doing hard things? There's probably not a lot of us that love to go through hard times, but we can be grateful that God can empower us to walk through it. This morning, we see a crazy one in the life of Daniel that you and I can be empowered to sleep with lions. Not many of us really contemplate the idea of sleeping with lions. We might think it would be better to be armed against lions. We might be think it'd be better to never encounter a lion. But the reality is we walk through a world that desires to set us up to deal with difficult things. And so this morning, we're looking at Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to read through the whole chapter. If you're there, you can follow along on the screen. Again, there's some black books along the chairs in front of you. If you want to follow in a paper Bible, you can follow there as well. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might have a count unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Would you say those 4 words with me? "As he did aforetime." I want you to keep those in the back of your mind. That is the whole premise of the message that we're going to look at this morning. Verse 11. "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing be true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute with the king which the king establish may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What an incredible story. And again, much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is a story often spoken to children in what we call for years Sunday school, or that would be spoken in what we would call vacation Bible school. We've heard these sermons preached year in and year out from pulpits about this man Daniel and the power of God in the lion's den. And so probably for many of you, this is not a new message or a new idea from Daniel chapter 6. But I do pray that we would be encouraged as you think about what is happening in our modern day society and the fact that you and I need to be prepared before we need to be prepared. There's a lot of things that are going to come into our lives, whether we are walking through family situations, whether we're walking through financial situations, whether we're walking through city situations or country situations. You and I need to be prepared that we might stand before God with an excellent spirit, as Daniel was told, that we might give our governing authorities a reason to declare that God is the one true God. And that's what I hope you and I will see this morning. 2 weeks ago, we saw through Mordecai in the book of Esther, this idea of being empowered through the promises of God. God, throughout his word, has given us promises that we can hold on to and trust in. Last week, through Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we saw in the prime, probably of their teenage years, that they were empowered through purpose. We read the fact that Daniel, and we established probably with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they had purposed in their hearts not to defile themselves before their God. They had determined that nothing would tear their heart away from God and his truth. This week, as we walk with Daniel through the lion's den, we are reminded of the power of prayer and the opportunity that you and I have to go before the throne of God and cast our cares upon him. And so here is the absolute key that we need to grab a hold of as we walk through this message. We paused as we read Daniel chapter 6 and we repeated those four words in verse 10. As he did aforetime. How many of you have been very good at calling to God in the midst of absolute utter despair? When there is no other hope, we turn to God at that moment. That's not how Daniel lived his life. Daniel was a man of prayer aforetime. Daniel had an excellent spirit in him aforetime. Daniel had faith in his God aforetime. Yes, Daniel absolutely needed God in the moment of this decree signed by Darius. But God was not just now being approached by Daniel. Daniel had reached out to God aforetime. At this point in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is now serving under the third king. If we're not careful, we tend to put Nebuchadnezzar all the way through the book of Daniel. Or we tend to think that Daniel is still a teenager in these moments, but he's not. This is on the third king there, and now Persia has taken over the rule and reign of that area. Babylon is now no longer on the scene, and we see Darius as the king of Persia. So we might say that Daniel is probably somewhere in his 70s at this point. I want you to grasp that. Mordecai was a bit older in the book of Esther. We come to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we challenge teenagers to live for the glory of God early in their lives because they're going to be tested in their faith whether they'll stand for the glory of God. And here we are, Daniel. Maybe some 70 years old, still being challenged to stand for your faith. How many of you have realized it does not matter your age? There are going to be some hard things that will continually come in your life. And so you and I need to develop throughout our whole life this idea of having a aforetime faith. It's good to start as children, being trained up in the things of the Lord that we might not depart from them. It's good to be challenged as teenagers to stand for our faith. It's good to be challenged in our 20s and our 30s and our 40s so that when we get to 70, we don't say, you know what, it's time to retire and sit on the couch. We're still ready to seek the Lord for the hard things that we're going to face because they are going to come. All too often in our weak and anemic American Christian society, we see so many fall apart when crisis hits because they have not learned of God's power long before the problem occurs. They are unprepared for life's problems. And as we've established, I'm sure we've all realized, no matter if we're 7 or if we're 70, there are going to be problems in this world. This morning, I've prayed that each one of us would be reminded that there are enemies at work against us. Enemies of the sin that defiles our body, that has established this physical decaying. Enemies physically, whether it be a neighbor or a coworker or a government official. There are enemies that desire to work against us. I want to not discourage you this morning, but encourage you to realize that there are moments already on our schedule that desire to derail our faith, that desire to catch us off guard and knock out that footing from under us so that we would not maybe be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There are lions' dens. There are cancer diagnoses. There are job losses. There are the inability to get your Bluetooth to work in your car. And there is that point where there's no parking spots at Smith's from October to May. How many understand the problems of that one? All right. Yet God has provided the power we need not to fall apart, but to walk straight through the line, the den of lions to victory on the other side. I hope that we would be found as individuals who could walk a victorious Christian life. We simply have to determine today whether we're 17 like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Please don't walk out of here saying that they were exactly 17. I'm just using that number, all right? Or 70 like Daniel, to develop that aforetime relationship with God so that we don't fall apart in our problems, but we walk through with great power in those problems. I mentioned our Bluetooth problems because I was there this week. I've been stealing Emily's car every day because it is absolutely freezing in the morning nowadays. No, I'm just kidding, but the change is here. I couldn't get the Bluetooth to work, so I flipped on the radio, and the second song that came on was by an artist named Matthew West. Maybe you've heard the song. It was new to me this week, but obviously as you hear the first sentence, you'll understand why it caught my attention. All right, listen to the aforetime attitude found in this song, okay? It starts like this. Three brothers, I'm going to try and read it and not hum this, all right? You definitely don't want me to sing it, all right? Three brothers in a fire, willing to die for their faith, but you were with them in the fire, and they walked out the next day. And Daniel met a lion because he chose to pray. But you shut the mouth of the lion, and he walked out the next day. So what's going to be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my beliefs, or will I turn around and run? Well, let the whole world hear me say, I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that changed my life. For the name above all names, I am unashamed. And I live my faith out loud, take a stand and stand my ground. For the one who took my shame, I am unashamed. You see, Daniel lived his faith out loud. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived their faith out loud. Mordecai, at great moments, lived his faith out loud. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What would be said of you today if you were to step before the King of Kings? Would your faith declare that you were unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So would you notice with me, as we've tried to pick out one word for each of these individuals, this word that I believe we find in Daniel chapter 6, and that is this: Daniel walked with consistency. How many of you are fly by the seat of your pants kind of people? You jump into the car and you have no idea where you're going. That is me wholeheartedly. And how many of you know people like that tend to marry schedulers? And I did that very well. How many of you call out that you want to go out to eat? You're in the car and you have no idea which restaurant you want to go to in your mind. Man, we have been there so many a times. Maybe you're here and that idea of just fly by the seat of your pants sounds terrifying. You have every minute of every day planned. Your calendar is filled with a schedule that would make the creator of day planners proud. Maybe that's who you are. Here's the thing, whether you fly by the seat of your pants or your pants already know when they're going to go to the cleaners, we can be unprepared for the unexpected. How many of you who are very meticulous in your planning have realized your plans don't always go as planned, right? And so there are going to be unexpected moments in our lives where if we are not prepared to walk through them, we are going to be derailed very quickly. So walk with me just real quick through the consistency that Daniel had determined aforetime. We saw last week that Daniel purposed in his heart, Daniel chapter 1, to follow God's word to the nation of Israel, for the nation of Israel. In Daniel chapter 2, as we saw on Wednesday, that through prayer, Daniel could declare to Nebuchadnezzar that God was the only one that could tell Nebuchadnezzar what dream he had and what it meant. In Daniel chapter 5, we're told about Daniel's excellent spirit as he interpreted another dream, this time for Belshazzar, the king that followed Nebuchadnezzar. Now we come back to Daniel chapter 6 and notice where we found Daniel. He's still in a foreign kingdom, having lived the majority of his life under ungodly leadership. In verse 3, we are told there, Daniel chapter 6, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the kings thought to set him over the whole realm. It's interesting when we look at our world. We tend in America to think that racial prejudice is a new thing. But did you catch it in Daniel chapter 6 that these princes and these presidents didn't count Daniel as one of their own, but he called them out. They called him out as one from the captivity of Judah, making this establishment, hey, Daniel is not one of us. Daniel is not of our own. Daniel doesn't deserve this status in this kingdom. And what you find is, again, this need for us to be prepared, because people are always going to try and find something that they can point a finger at to tear us down. Does this not sound like what we find ourselves in many times? You and I find ourselves as ones who get saved and we're told that everything is going to be roses and sunshine. It's easy to develop this belief then when you skip Daniel 1, 2, and 3. You skip Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. All of these challenges that Daniel finds in our lives. And yet you find throughout the pages of Daniel this challenge that a believer's life is not a bed of roses. It is something that needs to have this developed consistency in this relationship with God so that we might walk by faith, whether we are walking on the mountaintop or, as Psalms 23 says, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's good days and there's bad days. There's good moments. There's difficult moments. And the reality is if you and I can develop a consistent walk with God, it doesn't matter if we're floating on cloud 9 or if we're stuck in the miry clay, you and I can have a faith that is declared as one that walked with an excellent spirit. Consistency is not developed simply by a life of ease. It is developed by learning that God is God, whether we are on that mountain or whether we are in that valley. Daniel had an excellent spirit at 17. He served under an idol-creating tyrant. Daniel had an excellent spirit and served under a proud ruler, Belshazzar. And Daniel still had an excellent spirit as he served under Darius, who seems to be so preoccupied with his power, he's unable to think through what is best for the people under his care. He is not even willing to take some time to ask questions based on the decree that is presented to him. Think about what the princes and these governors came and said to them. We have talked to all the people. What did Darius not do? He didn't go and ask his most trusted advisor, do you agree with everything that was established? And yet Daniel walked with consistency under these types of leaders. You and I, like Daniel, are going to face unjust political figures who don't care about anything but themselves. You and I are going to have coworkers who are more worried about their position than our prosperity. So we have to decide, are we going to allow other people to control our emotions, attitudes, or actions? Or are we going to determine aforetime that God is God and we are not? God has allowed us to walk through these situations, and we can trust God that he will walk through them with us. And so notice again in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel's next move when political leaders decide to trap Daniel is this. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel didn't take his problems to the president. He took his problems to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Daniel was consistent in his faith, and he was empowered by God to accomplish some incredible things we see here and throughout the rest of the book of Daniel. So notice with me that Daniel was consistent, letter A, in public character. Daniel, as we can see, was a man of prayer, knowing that in and of himself he was weak, he was feeble, he was unable to understand the deeper things found in this world except by hearing from God. E.M. Bounds wrote several little books years ago on the power of prayer, and he led the reader to understand that the efficacy, or that big word simply meaning the ability to produce, in this case, prayer's intended result, is the believer's willingness to live a life of obedience and total abandonment of conscious sin. What E.M. Bounds is establishing is the fact that you and I are called to give our lives completely over to God, and you and I see the production of prayer accomplished when we are more concerned about the glory of God than our own goodness. Because the reality is, you and I realize that whether by life or by death, as we saw last week, we will glorify the Lord if we walk in his name for his glory. He wrote so effectively on the truth that an inconsistent life, E.M. Bounds wrote so effectively on the truth that an inconsistent life obstructs praying and neutralizes what little praying we may do. What a challenge he made so many years ago in pinpointing the fact that we are good at being busy with a lot of things, but in America, we have dropped the ball on prayer. You notice, as we see this, two men under Daniel, along with these other governing officials, whoever they might be able to coerce into bringing this law before the king, could only come up with such a perfect law to catch Daniel because his public life was so consistent in private that it was consistent in public as well. He was who he was in his house as who he was in the hallways of governing offices. Several years ago, after watching so many pastors fail in their faith very publicly, I made a decision to emphasize other things above my calling as pastor, with the hopes that if people could focus on those things, it would give me an ear to talk to them about the gospel. What I came to realize over the last many years is that sinners don't care if you're a pastor or a public school teacher or somebody who works in the sewers of the society around them. They don't like people calling out their sin and drawing them to their Savior. They don't like that. And so I was reminded, as much as other Christians can hinder the name of Christ, I am simply called to live out my faith as the Word of God has called me to live it out. I am not called to be concerned about anybody else's way that they live their faith out that determines that I am going to dumb down my Christian faith. I pray to God that my Christian faith would rise higher and higher and be an example for others to follow. But the reality is, I have to decide that whether no one follows or everybody follows, I at least am going to follow Christ each day of my life. Now, again, I want to be careful here because we don't have all the details of God's story. But where were all the other Jews when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood while everybody else bowed? Where were all the other Jews praying to the God of the Bible when these men tried to get Daniel killed for his faith? See, here's what we've got to come to grips with this morning. We are not going to stand and give an account for anyone else other than ourselves. So if some big name pastor falls into sexual sin, I am not going to stand in public on the name of Jesus for that person. I am going to stand in public on the name of Jesus for what I believe the Bible has told me about Jesus. If some friend is going to fall in love with a new Taylor Swift album, I am going to speak about Matthew West's new song, Unashamed. If some coworker is going to make fun of their spouse, I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church. You see, people all around us are going to fail in their public character because they're too weak to stand publicly. And so as you see Daniel here, you and I can realize that God has given us the ability to be empowered to stand alone before presidents and to be found guilty because of our faith in God. If there's anything ever to be found guilty of, I believe being found guilty that you believe in God is the greatest thing you can be found guilty for. So I wonder this morning, at work, before your family, with friends at a restaurant, would you be found guilty of placing your faith solely and continually in the God of the Bible? I want you to see something else here in this story as Daniel is brought before King Darius and found guilty of breaking what really comes down to a very bad law. How many of you realize that we have had some very bad laws set up in our country from time to time? In verses 14 through verse 18 of Daniel chapter 6, Daniel does not get outraged at his conviction. He doesn't run for the hills or go looking for some bribe money that he can give to the king. No, what you find is this pagan king who had come to appreciate the consistency of Daniel's faith is actually the one fighting for Daniel at the moment of his conviction. Daniel seeks a way around a law that could not be changed, as we read according to the law of the Medes and Persians. And Darius preaches about the power of Daniel, to Daniel, about God's power to deliver. You find Darius throughout the night praying and fasting through the night while Daniel is in the lion's den. And we got to say, whoever he's seeking there, he's challenged that Daniel needs help because of this bad law. Daniel had so established his public character of faith that lost men, Darius, the king of Persia, was fighting for Daniel. What a great testimony to have when people might not believe like you do about your God, but they have so seen your character in public, they're saying, hey, we've got to keep this man alive. We've got to keep this man in his place of prominence. We need his help to hear what God has to say. And you see these people fighting for Daniel. Now, I don't want us to get so caught up here that we totally miss the important power, part of power. And that's seen, letter B, in what I called in private-ish prayer. All right? I say private-ish for the sole purpose of being told that Daniel's windows were open, that his house was open, that anybody could come in and find Daniel praying those three times a day. If these presidents couldn't clearly see him, they possibly could clearly hear as he prayed out loud to the God of glory, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The whole book of Daniel describes for us that Daniel was a man of prayer. Knowing that in and of himself, he was unable to walk through this world with great success for God's glory. So Daniel's power was definitely found at the ear of God. Now, I mentioned E.M. Bounds a few moments ago, and I want to come back to another idea that he pressed on heavily throughout his writings. E.M. Bounds would write that the goal of prayer is the ear of God, which can only be reached by patient and continuous waiting on God. Notice what Daniel chapter 6 tells us. 3 times a day, Daniel prayed. Now, we find religious groups all over this world who have mandated certain moments of the day to pray, but how great is it that God has not limited us to a moment in the day, but he has invited us into a momentum of prayer. I always love talking with new Christians about this idea of prayer because it's always awkward and clunky at the beginning. And we get to teach them that prayer is simply a conversation with God that gives us the ability to interact with our personal Heavenly Father who loves us and desires to see his glory made known around the world and empower us for the things that he's called into. And we mentioned this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, so frequently here, but Peter gives us the agenda, gives us an agenda of prayer as he says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for us. Think about this. Your spouse, your job, your health, your dog, maybe your cat can possibly be found in that all. But your money, your attitudes, your clothing, your car, your kids, your birthday. What I want you to begin to understand is your all can be cast upon the Lord because he cares for you. Daniel had a moment here where he comes and he wants to talk to God because of this law that's been established. So he goes back home and you find that he prays. I feel like Daniel in this moment wasn't praying specifically for anything about himself, but that God would be known among the kingdom there in Persia. See, God had shown up and declared who he was for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar then declared that the nation should worship or not speak badly against the God of Daniel. Now Daniel needed him to show up for Darius so that Darius might learn to be a little bit more careful with how he governed the country. I wonder this morning if you can identify what is your first move when the difficult is announced? What is your first move when your problems are right before your eyes? I will tell you this. I have been good in the past about whining to anyone who will listen. How many understand that one, right? As your first move. I can tell you this. I've been good at getting frustrated as my first move. I can tell you this. I've been really good at trying to run from my problems. But greater than everything in my past, I really do hope that I have become a little more like Daniel over the last many years. And my first move is to go back home and pray. That's where you and I find the power to overcome or walk through the problems that we're working through. You and I believe, are seeing some sort of revival in worship, and we see it really based a lot around music, and that's good. Good music changes hearts and minds. We're seeing a passion for preaching from one kind or another, and that's good because preaching instructs us with what the Word of God has as important. However, can I challenge us this morning that far better than music and far better than a message from God delivered by some person behind a pulpit is prayer. Personal, power-filled prayer. It's the one-on-one interaction with God that lays out before us as bare before him as an individual who is humbled under the pressures of this world, knowing that we are casting on the one who can lift us up out of that problem. Daniel heard the decree. He headed for his house. Daniel knew the punishment, so he went into his closet to pray. Now, here's the thing that you and I can understand. Private prayer doesn't have to be at home. It can be in the pew at a church. It can be in a break room for just a couple seconds that you have the ability to get away. It can be in a car on a long drive. It can be in a class while a teacher is telling you that there are 40 plus genders. I am not trying to give you a formula this morning of when to pray or where to pray or what to pray. I simply am hoping that we can see again through the life of Daniel that consistent prayer is a powerful weapon in the hands of God's children. Because God becomes the center of our problem that has the ability to help us focus on what really is happening around us and how we can walk through that thing. I want to draw this message to a close this morning by reading again the final few verses of what we've already read, simply because private-ish prayer empowered Daniel to leave a very public testimony. So come back with me to Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. It says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake unto Daniel. You see that hope there? He cries out to Daniel, I really hope he's alive. O Daniel, servant of the living God, thy God whom thou savest continually, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. Notice what he wants to know. Is your God big enough for your problem? You and I have a God who is big enough still for our problems. I love the heart of the king. It reminds me so much of the father who came to Jesus with a passion to see his child live. And he said to Jesus there, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Notice the response of Daniel in verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Notice that Daniel, clearly, having come to God, said, I stand before God clean and innocent. I have done what is right in the eyes of God. And so you see this fact that Daniel is found with great faith in God because he has been consistent with his walk with God. And so I want you to grasp, as we think about this statement where Daniel says, an angel was here and protected me from the lions. I want you to grasp the unseen world for a moment. God sent an angel to protect Daniel from certain death. Darius proclaimed Daniel's consistency, and Daniel found God faithful to deliver through the messenger he sent to protect him. Now, here's the thing that you see with Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is given this decree. He's not to seek anything from the God of creation. He goes to his house. He seeks the God of creation. He's thrown into the den of lions very quickly when he is presented before the king. And God's response is basically immediate. How many of you are infatuated with immediate responses from God? You love those, right? Those are great. God, I need you right now. How many of you love when God's answer is a little bit delayed? Oof. I struggle a little bit when I don't get that answer right away. I want you to think about what happens in Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's seeking God's face, and he needs some help. And we see that God again chooses to use an angel to come and help David. What you find is that Daniel will go to the Lord and he prays. And this time we're told that he fasts. He's desperately seeking the Lord for wisdom and direction. In Daniel chapter 10, we're told that Daniel had to wrestle for 21 days because as much as God wants his glory accomplished in this world, we learn Satan wants destruction. Satan had stood against the workmen of God, and this spiritual battle that Daniel had no idea was happening was raging in this unseen world. We're told that God then gives Michael the ability to go down and defeat the work of Satan. This angel comes and he helps Daniel get the answer he needs in that moment. So I want to encourage you, don't give up on God when it seems like God is distant. God is at work. He might just be at work against a spiritual power in the background that is going to make his answer and action so much more powerful when we are finally able to see them in the physical world. You imagine having that testimony? I saw an angel sent by God to do a work to help me out. That's incredible. So notice verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, break all their bones in pieces, ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. What a statement from the king, because he saw the power of God at work through Daniel's life, because Daniel was willing, knowing that he was going to break the law of the Medes and Persians, and yet he still went to pray. Daniel comes out and he declares, God sent an angel on my behalf, and now you find this king promoting the God of creation to the nations around him. Notice what he says, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. Notice what he says, verse 27. This is amazing. He delivereth and rescue. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Darius knew how Daniel came out alive. I wonder how many of us, when we walk on the other side of problems, say, whew, man, I am so thankful I got through that one. It's good to be able to get through it, but let's never forget how we got through it. You and I don't get through our problems alone for the glory of God. You and I have the ability to declare, it is God who delivered. It is God who rescued. It is God who worked through signs and wonders. It is God that delivered me through the power of the lions. I want you to notice something, because again, we argue a little bit from silence here. It's God in the midst of our problems that gives us the ability to sleep in the den of lions. How many of you have had some seriously sleepless nights in the midst of the problems? I'm sure we've all been there. And I'm not saying we're not going to ever have sleepless nights. But I want to encourage you, if you will develop a consistent walk with God, there is a greater opportunity for you to say, yeah, here I am. God's in control, and fast asleep, knowing that there's a lion right beside you, ready to devour. You might not see the praise today in the midst of your problem, but understand there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It's going to be a great day, but why not give someone a reason today to be exceeding glad because of what God has done for you? Because you were found consistent in your faith. There's nothing greater to hear than somebody say, hey, I know who they are. I'll give a testimony about their God. I might not clearly understand them, but their God's done some great things in their life. Why not give somebody a reason to praise God for who he is? Because they've seen and they've heard what God is doing and has done in your life as you walk through this journey. You and I can be empowered to do hard things if you and I will establish a consistent walk of prayer in our daily lives. Maybe you're here this morning and you really kind of find yourselves like Darius. You have this idea of God, but you really haven't laid your life down before him. I want to encourage you, if you have questions about who God is and maybe how he's working your life, I'd love to talk to you after this service is over. Maybe this morning God's been challenging your heart. Maybe you are one that has been found very inconsistent in your prayer life. You struggle with your everyday activities and problems because you're trying to fight it alone. And God's been saying, hey, look, follow David's example and develop a consistent walk with me. Wherever you're at, be a person of prayer, and I promise I will work through that prayer. Maybe that's you. Maybe as we pray in just a moment, you just ask the Lord, God, would you help me develop how I could have a prayer life for your glory? Maybe you're here this morning and you are a prayer warrior. I want to encourage you, don't stop now. Maybe because you're 60, maybe because you're 65, maybe because you're 70, I want to encourage you, be consistent to the last breath God gives you to be a person of prayer. Maybe you'd say, God, I need your help to stay consistent as I get older. Things are causing me a little bit more struggle. May I stay consistent in prayer. However God's speaking to you, before we sing, we're going to pray. I would encourage you just to ask the Lord help you through what God has been speaking to you about in these moments. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these moments in your word. We thank you for